big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host. And this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm really excited to have Dan Isfinick back on the podcast. And Dan is a student ministry veteran, and he also runs a really great blog and a resource page, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But he and I get together and we talk about seasons of ministry, and not seasons of ministry like fall, spring, summer, winter, which I initially thought about, but seasons of ministry in your own ministry career. And again, if you've been in ministry for any period of time, you'll have different seasons of life, and you'll have different seasons of ministry. And what does that look like, and how can you benefit from the different seasons in life, and how can your people you're ministering to benefit from those seasons of life? We have a great conversation about it, so I'm really excited to have Dan back on the podcast. So without any further ado, let's get in the interview right now with Dan talking about seasons of ministry. All right, with me right now is Dan Isfinick. Dan, how are you?
Really good, really good.
That is great. How's the weather where you're at? I always like to ask that of people, but how's the weather there?
It is actually finally sunny. We've had, I think, 48 days of cloudy or rainy weather. So it is finally sunny.
Yes, that is true. We've had a lot of rain down here as well. And it makes me miserable. So it just makes me flat out miserable.
We're just north of you a little bit. So I don't know. We must have the rain band or something up here. It's been rainy forever.
Yeah, I think last year was, the second rainiest year in D.C. On record. So, I mean, this year was already going crazy. And so I'm like, I just need the sun.
So. Seriously.
Well, Dan, you have a great website and you have great youth ministry experience. So just tell me a little bit about your youth ministry experience. And for anybody who may not know who you are and cool. Your awesome website, because I love your resources that you've got. So share with me a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, I've been doing youth ministry just over 24 years. So 20 years of full-time experience. And a little couple more years of just part-time love gift, you know, back in the day when I first started out. Mm-hmm. Currently, I run two different websites. One is middleyearsministry.com. It's kind of my original blog that's been around for a couple years now. And then recently, we launched off from that actually to have a full-on website with resources called NYM Resources that connects the two pieces. So just opportunity to kind of share some of my stuff at affordable prices. Sometimes we just offer some stuff for free, just getting more and more stuff out there. For everyone, but we kind of talk about meeting in the middle, finding kind of offering resources that fit the ninth grade, and they can be used on either side in children's ministry or high school ministry. But yeah, it's been great, and just love being able to kind of share stuff and thoughts with people from what we've been doing.
Yeah, you've got a great website. I love checking out your blog posts because you're a great content curator too. You like to share other people's resources as well. And you're well adapted and tapped in with other people. So I love just checking in on your Twitter account and your blog and just seeing what you're sharing, because you've got a lot of great stuff, man.
Well, I tell a lot of people, I mean, share more than your opinion on social media. I mean, everybody wants to share their opinion. Everybody wants to create a blog or a website to share their opinion. My theory all the way back, I mean, 6-7 years of doing this is share more than your opinion. Share your resources for free or cheap. Share other people's resources. Yeah. Just create as much content out there by sharing each other's content. There's no reason to have us sit on our content.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you completely. And so I will definitely have both those sites in the show notes so people can click on those if they haven't discovered them already. Well, today I want to talk to you about seasons of ministry. And you and I are both kind of veterans in the youth ministry world. We've been at it for quite some time. And you know, being veterans in ministry, you've gone through different seasons of ministry. And I know from my reflection, I've gone through different seasons of ministry. So let's just start the conversation very generally. What are some different seasons of ministry that you've encountered, good or bad, that you started with?
Well, I kind of think about four seasons of youth ministry. Is I call it friend to father. Is you start off in the friend stage of youth ministry, young, you know, fresh out of college, or you're kind of approaching ministry more as just a friend to students. You move your way up into being the cool older brother. So you kind of move into a different spot. You're kind of similar in age, but you're a little bit cooler now. and then you turn into the uncle. You know, you're not that same age, but you're that protective, wiser fellow that's part of the student's life. And then you get into the stage that maybe that you and I are in now, it's father. So I look at currently, I look at four stages I've lived through, is friend, big brother, uncle, and then father. So I talk a lot about friend to father is the stages I look at when it comes to how I've lived out the last 24 years or so. Is I have now a fifth grader and a ninth grader. So one daughter, my daughter's moving up into 10th grade next year. My son's moving into sixth grade next year. So it's definitely a different season for me as a father. I approach students that I have, but also my own kids as a little different than just being their friend.
Yeah. No, see, I love that. You have four very clear seasons there. And let's talk about that. What has been your most favorite season that you've kind of gone into?
I think Big Brother was one of my favorites looking back. But in a lot of ways, I love the season I'm in right now.
Yeah.
And there's reasons why. I think the Big Brother stage, when I was in that, you know, late 20s, early 30s, stage was just gave me an opportunity to be similar in age to my students, maybe a little bit closer to their age, while being looked up to them as somebody, you know, wise and kind of cool. It's like cool element. And there were some positive things in that stage, but there's still a struggle with being respected on staff, being respected by parents. So there's still that element of like, you're too young to really know anything, is some of the adults' perspective. Where stage I'm in now, it's been great, is I get to be that cool dad that I get the right to be heard by parents automatically just based on age because I have my own kids. So I think each stage has a positive and a negative.
Yeah.
I think the tail end of being a big brother was a lot of fun. I really look back at it. Maybe it was just the church I was in at that point where I just really look back at some of the celebration and the time I had there. But honestly, the last couple of years, I mean, just this father stage has been a really cool to see a different perspective, especially as I work. And I think even just nationally, there's more of a parent ministry emphasis, a more of a family ministry emphasis. So I think my stage I'm in right now fits more with the national kind of feeling of youth ministry, is that Think Orange, that D6, Sticky Faith, all those things are kind of saying, hey, we need to make sure we're incorporating parents and making family ministry happen. Well, it's harder to do when you're younger. I was listening to Kara Powell on a different podcast recently, and she was talking about that. And it's hard for those younger youth pastors to earn the right to be heard, be respected by parents, because they don't have kids yet. And that's unfortunate. And I want to encourage anybody who's listening that doesn't have teenagers yet, but is a youth pastor, you still have, you know, stuff to say. You still have intelligence. You still have a lot of respect that you need to have for them. And but it's a struggle. You know, parents just automatically look at the guy, the girl without teenagers, like, well, what do you know?
Yeah.
So that's a challenge. That's a challenge.
Yeah. Season. Well, and it's a hard challenge. That first stage is a hard challenge for, at least it was for me initially, because I didn't have kids of my own at that time. And I come in being a quote unquote expert in youth. And yet I'm dealing with parents and I'm trying to help parents. And you're right. It's like, what do you know about children? You've never raised one, but then yet we're supposed to be the expert. And there was almost like an arrogance I had to deal with of saying, you know what? Parents know more than I do, and I have to lean on them. I have to kind of come alongside of them. What were some good things or bad experiences you might have had during that initial friend stage that you had?
Well, I know, I mean, everybody, I mean, interviews, podcasts, articles, I mean, what is the biggest mistake you made in youth ministry is the question I get all the time. And I tell, and I even honestly am very honest with my parents, my youth ministries, is the biggest mistake I've made in 20 years of youth ministry is not respecting parents, not including them in what I'm doing, and honestly, in a lot of ways, disrespecting them. As the, when I was in that friend stage, I was, you know, the buddy of the students, and it was the me against them kind of thought. And that was a huge point where I really made a lot of flubs, to be real. Yeah. I didn't honestly give parents that deserve respect. And then I was frustrated when they didn't give me respect back.
Yeah.
So that's a challenge, but I encourage young guys and young girls coming up in ministry is, you know, respect the parents, but also let them be part of your team.
Yes.
The easiest way to gain respect for your ministry is including parents in your ministry.
Yeah.
They become your defenders. They become your wisdom seekers. They become your wisdom givers. They're with you. So suddenly a parent is not really sure about your ministry because you're young. Well, guess what? If you have parents involved as leaders, you earn some points and some bonus points and some respect for your ministry that way.
Yeah, one of the best things I did, I actually had a parent who liked to give me stuff. Here, you should read this. Here, you should read that. Yep. And he kept on giving me stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I will read this if you read it along with me. And what ended up happening was I took one of those books. She read it along with me, and we did it with a few other people as well. But then she actually became an active part of my ministry team. Yep. So I actually suckered her into helping me by kept on recommending it. And she was a huge help for a few years, and it was fantastic. So I love that, what you have to say about that, because parents are, and they can be very vital, especially, yep, I believe, in the middle school age, where parents are still cool and they can still be accepted a lot, so where they can be involved in that, whereas in high school it gets a little bit more tricky.
Yeah, it does, but it's a matter of finding the right parents. I say all the time to my parents, my ministries, not every parent is gifted in being a leader. We will use you in a way. If you want to serve, your heart is to serve, we will make sure you serve in our ministry, but you may not everybody's gifted to be a small group leader.
Yeah.
But there's a ton of parents that are. But because their parents, a lot of times younger, when I was younger, all this, I won't put on me, when I was younger, I wouldn't even consider them because of their age, because they were parents. And looking back now at my last couple ministries, the greatest leaders I had were parents, were people who had students in our ministry, or about to have students, or just had students in our ministry. I know my church in Ohio, I had one lady, Amy, was with me for 9 full years.
Wow.
And she was phenomenal. She was one of the best leaders, hands down, I've had over the years. And just understanding, I mean, she did amazing things for our ministry without me even asking, because she was a parent and she earned the respect for my ministry just based on the fact that she was involved and she'd defend us and talk and promote us to other parents.
Yeah.
So that's the positive and the challenge of the friend stage. The brother stage is a little different. You get to kind of get to be, you get a little separation from, you're not young enough to just be the friend. You kind of move up a little bit in that. And there's just moments where you can really kind of begin to earn a little more respect from other adults while still kind of keeping that cool factor with the students. So yeah, I mean, there's some challenges to that one as well.
Yeah.
And the uncle stage is definitely, you're now an adult. You're looked at as an adult. And you have that beginnings of like, oh, you're wise. I'll turn to you as more of a wise adult, not just a older peer.
Yeah. Well, I like that big brother to uncle stage too, in the sense of those two stages, because generally, at least in my experience, I started having kids of my own at that time.
Yep.
And therefore, you're right. Parents start looking at you a little bit differently. Oh, and then kids start looking at you a little bit differently. They kind of rejoice with you like, oh my gosh. And it's kind of free babysitting sometimes. Yep. You get the free babysitting. And it's a great, it's a different way to connect with kids. It's a different way to connect with parents. So I really enjoyed that stage personally.
Yeah. And I mean, that's one of the things that really bonded us with that groups that we had during that stage, was those students lived through life stages with us as a couple. Mm-hmm. You know, they were there when my kids were born. I mean, they were around, not there, but around when my kids were born. They were around when my kids took their first steps, maybe their first words, some of those things, they were part of that celebration with me.
Yeah.
And that was a different moment for our ministry. But those students, you know, are still part of our lives now that it's been years removed, but they remember those moments. You know, my daughter stood on her own 2 feet during a praise and worship song on a retreat. That was the first time she stood up without support, and our students were there to be present with that. And that was the moment of like, hey, this is somebody who is an adult. He's having children. He's married. He's not just my cool friend. But there was a moment where I got to really bond with those students. And those students are still, you know, friends of, I mean, literally are still friends of ours now that they're older, and now they're in the same stage as we are, which is really fun to see, you know, years removed. Now they're in that same stage having kids and looking back and saying, you know, I remember when you had kids and you were doing this, and it's fun to hear that fear from them now.
Yeah. Now I agree with you. One of the joys I have in my ministry is seeing these kids that are in their 30s now and their young old 20s right now, and just connecting with them as they're having families right now. It's really cool. Well, as you get into the like kind of the last stage here that we're talking about, let me ask you this. I get called, like, because my girls are a little bit older than yours. I have two high schoolers and a middle schooler and an elementary age, and I meet their friends, you know, and they call me Mr. Pounder.
And so I have to, you know, because I've been used to being called Tom for so long by the students, and now I'm called Mr. Pounder, and I have to bridge the gap and say, no, you can call me Tom, but then there's that respect thing. Have you ever dealt with anything like that?
Yep. Yeah, we do that because, I mean, in the church, I'm Pastor Dan, or just sometimes my students call me Dan, and it's just odd. And then I'm out with my daughter and her friends, and they call me Mr. I, because they can't say my last name. they're just like, hey, Mr. I, or mostly it's a lot of Jenna's dad.
Okay.
But it's been cool because, you know, when she invites friends, those students have already got to know me. I'm around the school or I'm in different places, and they're like, hey, let's go to Jenna's dad's church, you know, and check that out. And you have those moments. But what happens is we get to know those parents too. Unchurched parents are far more comfortable with their children coming and checking out and their students coming and checking our youth ministry through my relationship with them as Jenna's dad, not as Pastor Dan.
Yeah.
But what's really cool is there's that moment of like, hey, I can talk to your parents and I can also talk to you. And it becomes a bridge season, more so than any other season. I have a moment where I can be Pastor Dan and also Mr. I, and have those moments where I can bridge the gap between parent and student far better than ever I've ever had, because I'm living that season. But what happens is I really, you know, I have trust on both sides. The kids look at me and say, hey, you know what? You're a cool adult I can talk to. I trust you. I can come to you. At the same time, I know my mom and dad come to you and they trust you too. Yeah. And it's just kind of a double blessing. Last couple of years, it's been a double blessing because I get to have the trust on both sides. And so there's been a lot of times my wife and I sit literally as bridge makers with parents and their kids quite often, more often than not anymore, when there's an issue, and kind of be that middle ground of like, let's talk this through. So it's been a neat season. It's been a really neat season for us. And also God's continues to work. I don't see me slowing down anytime soon in youth ministry. I guess I'm a lifer, you know? And so I don't know. Somebody has talked to me recently and said, hey, you need to add a fifth stage with the grandpa stage. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm ready for that. My daughter's only in 10th grade. So let's wait on grandpa stage of youth ministry. Yeah. But maybe someday.
Yeah. I think that's fine. But I think you're right on, because again, I think just by us in our age, we have a lot of clout and we have a lot of respect just naturally with parents and with kids, because as my daughters bring their friends around the house, because we want our house to be an open house where they can kind of come in and hang out. They're getting to know me, although, you know, I'm not sitting down there and hanging out with them while they're watching TV or something like that, but they get to know me just in those interactions. So it makes it easier for my daughters to invite their friends to church or a church related thing. But also I think the parents feel safer knowing that who I am, that of them coming to a church related event, even if they're not believers themselves. And I'll say this, I have a, we do a lot of home groups at my church, and there is a couple that runs a home group in their community through our student ministry. And they get regularly, this blows my mind because they're the exception. I wish more of our home groups were like this, but they get on average between 40 and 50 people, students a night at their group, because they built up trust and respect over the years. And they are older than I am. They're almost 50 years old, and they have some younger adults helping them. But these kids, high school kids, love coming to their house because it's a safe place and they talk about real things, but they have built up trust over the years in that community, and that goes a long way.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, honestly, beyond me, I kind of joke, but I mean, some of the greatest volunteers I've had are grandma and grandpa's age people. You know, we had a leader in Ohio. Her nickname was Grandma Dot, and everybody loved her. And she was this tough, amazing old lady, but she was cool in her own right, and not because she could wear skinny jeans and she had the cool. Not at all. I mean, she was a tough old lady, but she was amazing. Recently, we had a leader named Norma, who was, I mean, super. You know, she was a grandma age, but she was super in shape. She worked out. She would go to the Zumba class or whatever she did in the mornings, and she would come to group. But she was a dodgeball ninja, and it was hilarious. I mean, the boys wanted to hit her, and she was a ninja. I mean, she was amazing, but the kids loved her because she was grandma to them. They could talk to her. The girls loved her. It's not like they didn't like the younger leaders or the younger female leaders, but they looked to her in a different way.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, you've been through this. You've done that. And when she would say something, people would stop and listen.
Yeah.
And there's just a built-in respect. You know, you always have those moments where, all right, guys, we got to calm down. All right, we got to talk about this. And she would just open her mouth and everybody would stop. Even the guys would stop and want to hear what she had to say.
Yeah.
And it was amazing to see someone in, you know, well into her grandma's stage years, find that moment of ministry that, I couldn't even achieve.
Yeah. Yeah, this is awesome. Well, as we wrap up here, this has been fantastic. And I can definitely see myself as I go through those stages. But as we wrap up, what would you encourage some youth minister right now who's going through some of the stages, maybe transition from one stage to another, and they're kind of stressing out about how effective they can be? What would you say to them?
These are all seasons. And like everything else we kind of joked about at the beginning of with weather, seasons change. Seasons are temporary. Seasons are not forever. You'll move from season to season. And maybe there's more seasons that I didn't really list off in my four things. But so often we get bogged down in the season.
Yeah.
And, you know, we look at the rain outside in our ministry and we're like, oh, man, this is the worst season possible. And all these bad things are happening. And, you know, why can't I? And what happens is those seasons, people quit.
Mm-hmm.
And don't quit in a season. Wait for the next season. See what God has in the next season. And over again, whatever it is, if you are whatever leader you are, wherever you're at, don't quit because of the season you're in. Look ahead to the next season and stay for the longevity. That's what's going to change youth ministry in our country. That's what's going to change our students, is people who live season by season, embrace the seasons, struggle through the seasons, but celebrate those seasons and don't give up when they're not sure about the season they're living in.
Yeah. Well, that is actually a great word, because again, when you, in every season that I've gone through, I can say there's been really hard times. There's been really challenging times. And I mean, I've been in student ministry for over 20 years myself, and I would not have been that way if I would have quit. And just because the season got tough, there are times when I wanted to quit. There are times when I said, this is not good. I got to get out of here and do something different. But I know what God called me to do. And like what we talked about, we're kind of lifers here on this, and we're going to keep going through. It's going to be challenging. There's going to be, you know, things thrown at us, but we're going to keep going through and just, you know, remain true to your calling. If God, that's what God's calling you to do, keep chugging along. So I think that's a great word.
Yeah. The key to longevity is refusing to quit.
Yes. That's a tweetable thing right there. You know?
I don't know. But simply, I mean, the key to longevity, people ask me like, how have you done this so long? Or what's your key to longevity? And I'm like, I just refuse to quit. I just refuse to quit, you know? Yeah.
I love that. That is awesome. So, well, dude, Dan, you've got great resources. You've got great insights on your blog. As always, I wish you well on what you're doing and where you're at. And I look forward to talking to you again. Because we've got other topics we got to hit on. So yeah. I look forward to doing it.
Yeah, we'll schedule it up.
Yes, definitely. All right, man. Well, have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Blessings.
All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Dan. It's always great talking with him. He's got a lot of great experience and great knowledge. And again, his blog and resource pages are fantastic, especially if you're working with students in those kind of the middle years between children's ministry and high school, you know, the middle school or junior high or fifth to ninth grade years. So whatever that looks like for your ministry context. But I would strongly recommend you checking out his stuff. But I would love to hear your thoughts on what we talked about, the seasons of ministry. Which season are you in? We talked about four different ones. Again, there could be other ones depending on how you characterize it. But they definitely identified with me, and I'm sure other people can identify with them as well. So what is your favorite season of ministry? What's been very productive for you and very fruitful? I feel like I've been productive and fruitful in every stage of those seasons, but I've also had challenges on every season. So it'd be really curious to hear your thoughts on that. So let's keep on the conversation. Let's keep the conversation going on, and hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder. I'd love to continue this conversation with you online. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. If you enjoyed the podcast, go to iTunes and subscribe to it, or you can go to Spotify and find it on there as well. Just search YM Sidekick Podcast, or you can go to ymsidekick.com. There I got the blog, the podcast, some vlogs. I got the Twitter ebook and information about Digital Bootcamp, the place where you can go and get free digital tools and resources that will help you expand your reach in your ministry. You don't have to be a church communicator or social media manager to benefit. This is for all ministers, so you can learn digital tools to help you expand your reach. So go to Digital Bootcamp, and it's a free Facebook group. So we'd love for you to do that. All right, heroes, well, I hope you have a great rest of the day, a great rest of the week, and until next time, have a great one.